really in your ministry to international students. And my hope is this morning that through the Word of God, you would be greatly encouraged and see how to both deepen and expand what God is already doing in your midst. I'd like to begin by sharing some stories with you. You've already heard the precious and beautiful story of Jan and how God worked in her life through that aspect of hospitality. And I'd like to share a couple more stories about that. This is a woman from Taiwan named Sophia on the left. Sophia came to study at The Ohio State University as a very devout and committed Buddhist. She had studied Buddhist philosophy in her country. And similar to Jan, when she came, she was met by a host family at the airport, welcomed into their home. And there in their home, sitting around the dinner table for the first time as they joined hands, as was their custom as a family, and prayed, the father in the family prayed not only for the meal, but prayed for her and asked for God's blessing on her life, her adjustment to the United States, help in her studies. And as that prayer was taking place, although she didn't know who God was, she was so touched that in that first day in the U.S., she thought, I would like to know more about this God who they're praying to. And indeed, she followed up with attending a Bible study, and through that Bible study came to know Christ. And then now she's involved in a full-time ministry, literature ministry, distributing literature in mainland China. This man in the middle is named Abdul. Abdul came to study in the United States from the country of Afghanistan. 99.9% of Afghans are Muslims. And when he came, he experienced with many internationals, experienced loneliness. He was not met by a host family. And he left his family back at home. He had a wife and children. They were unable to accompany him. And so when he received an invitation to go to a family's home for lunch, he was very eager to accept that invitation, even though they first invited him to attend a Sunday worship service. He wasn't very interested in going to church, but he was really interested in going to their home. So he said, okay, I'll put up with the church. And so he went and went to their home, and they spent the afternoon together sharing and talking. And he had such a wonderful time that when they invited him the next week to do the same, he said, I can sit through every church service if I get to be with this family. And so week after week, he began to attend church with this family. And gradually, he began to actually listen to what the pastor was saying. And it actually began to impact his life. And through a process, having never met an Afghan Christian in his life, he made that momentous decision to follow Christ. Before he came to study in the U.S., he was a top-ranked translator in his country. So after coming to Christ, he wanted to see how he could serve God, and God used him to retranslate the New Testament into the Dari language, his home language, and also used him to produce tape broadcasts of the gospel in his language into Afghanistan. It was hospitality that opened the door to his life. And just one more story. I just came back last night from China. I spent 13 days there visiting returned international students, including this woman and her husband who are serving in Kunming and leading a church there. In the time that this woman has been home, she's planted five churches in different cities in China. And seeing the work that God was doing through her life and her husband's life was just so encouraging and so wonderful to be a part of. But when she came to study in Columbus, she was met by a host family at the airport. She was a very committed atheist, but she had a deep longing in her heart. She came to study public health. And in China, she knew that many of the people she helped that had AIDS and different social diseases, that she knew they didn't have hope. And she was looking for an answer. What could I do? What could I learn to bring them hope? And so when she experienced the Christian love and began to hear the message of the gospel, she recognized, this is the hope that I need, and this is the hope that people in China need. So she came to Christ, but it was really hospitality that opened the door. By the way, when I was in China, the student who was an intern last year, Rachel, I also got to visit, and she was very actively sharing Christ with her family and her friends, and has a very specific vision to become a Christian counselor in China. And so God's word is going out into China, into Afghanistan, Taiwan, and other countries, through the work of IFI and through the partnership with churches like Linworth. So I'm just so grateful. But I want to talk to you about this verse, Hebrews 13:2, which is a key verse on hospitality in the New Testament. And I've chosen to use New Living Translation simply because King James and most of the other versions use the word entertain. And as I'll talk about a little bit later, I think in our culture, the link between hospitality and entertainment is not always very clear. So this says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without knowing it, without realizing it. Now, the part of the verse that I want to emphasize, first of all, is the invitation to blessing. That the first thing we need to know about hospitality is that when God is appealing to us, when he's instructing us, when he's commanding us, he's first of all giving us an invitation to blessing. You see that part of the verse? That God could have said to us, now, don't forget to show hospitality because strangers are in genuine need. Now, that is true, and we'll see that that's a function of hospitality. But that's not the appeal of this verse. He doesn't say, don't forget to show hospitality because through this, the gospel is going to be heard all over the world. And I'm going to also talk about that. No, the starting point of this verse is the appeal to us that in the practice of hospitality, we are opening the door not only to blessing others, but the door to have a special blessing from God in our own life. That we're opening the door to a divine encounter, to an experience of God's presence in a new and fresh way. Now, I'm assuming that if you know Christ this morning, that you'd like to get to know him better. And I'm assuming that in your walk with Christ, that you want to have increasing experiences where you know his power and you know the reality of his presence in your life. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So, obviously, in the Word of God, we're told that in obedience, there's blessings. Blessed is the man who walks in the way of the Lord. So all obedience opens the door to blessing. But in this particular case, God is telling us that the practice of hospitality has this specific possibility of God working in a very dramatic way in our lives. Now, I'm excited and I'm encouraged by that to know that God is giving me a key here. That he's saying, listen, if you want to know me better, experience me, practice hospitality. And in referencing, he says, some people who have practiced hospitality have even entertained angels without realizing it. Now, invariably, this is a reference to the story of Abraham's encounter in Genesis 18 in the Old Testament. And I'd like to look at that with you, first of all, to see what blessings did Abraham experience when he practiced hospitality. So, if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to open up to Genesis 18. I'm going to read from NIV. We're also going to use this text to understand more specifically what the practice of hospitality looks like. Genesis 18, verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abram near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, if I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered, do as you say. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said, get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to his servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. Where is your wife Sarah? They asked him. There in the tent, he said. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, am I worn out and my master is old, that now I will have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, well, I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. When the man got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom. And Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Okay, so there's two things here that we can see that God does for Abraham in the context of Abraham welcoming these visitors into his home. First of all, the word of God comes to Abraham in a fresh way. Although God has previously promised to him that he's going to have a son, it's in this context that God tells him very specifically, now a shorter time frame. And he's been waiting a long time since that promise first came to him. And now the promise is, by this time next year, you're going to have a son. And the reality is that in the time of hosting people, God often will speak to our own heart. He will speak to us about things in our own life in very personal ways. And we'll see other examples that I'll refer to in a moment. But what a blessing it is always to receive the word of God. And here Abraham is receiving God's specific instruction for him, his specific plan for him. And that is a great blessing, isn't it? I mean, to receive the word of God, the confirmation of what God is going to do in his life. And then the second thing happens is that God opens his heart to Abraham and shares with him what he's about to do in Sodom and Gomorrah so that Abraham can engage with him. He's inviting Abraham into his plans so that Abraham can talk to him about it. You know, true friends, we know that God calls Abraham a friend. And he said that one of the things that friends do is share their hearts with one another. Jesus said, "I've called you friends because I've shared with you everything the Father has given to me." And what a beautiful blessing it was that in the context of hospitality, that God opened his heart to Abraham and shared with him his very plans. If Abraham had not invited these guests in, he would have missed these two wonderful blessings that came into his life. But you know, it's not just Abraham. Throughout the Bible, when people practice hospitality, unique, powerful, and special encounters with God take place. You have the story of Elijah and the woman at Zarephath. If you remember that story, God instructs Elijah that he's prepared a way for him to be provided for in this time of famine, that he's to go to a widow in another city, and that God is going to provide through her. And so Elijah goes and says, "You know, give me some food to eat." And she says, "Hey, I'm down to my last meal." And he says, "Well, if you share it with me, God is going to provide for you." And she does that. And indeed, a supernatural provision of food comes into her home on a daily basis where she doesn't see it run out. What an encounter she had with God's provision in her life as a result of the practice of hospitality. Now, later on, I'm going to talk to you about obstacles to practice hospitality. And one of them might be that we feel like we don't have a lot to give. That could be in different ways, and one of them could be materially. We might feel like, "I don't have a big enough house, I don't have a lot of things." But this woman took the little bit that she had, and then God made a greater provision for her to give. That is the type of experience that we know the reality of God. And then we see Elisha also had this type of experience with a woman, the Shunammite woman. I'm testing you on your Old Testament knowledge on these stories, right? Just to remind you, is Elisha's traveling through a town, and this woman invites Elisha to come into her home, and then she says, "Hey," to her husband, "why don't we make a special place so when this prophet comes, he can have a place to rest and a place to study?" And so they actually provide a little room for him. You know, there used to be a generation ago in among American Christians the concept of having a prophet's room. How many of you have heard about the prophet's room? Like, maybe it's more than a generation ago. I don't know. Based on that story, the idea of, let us have a guest room specifically set up for people who can come and stay in our home. And when that happened, this woman had a deep longing in her life for a child. And similarly to Abraham and Sarah, God supernaturally provided a child for this woman. And then later on, this child dies, and she sees the power of God in that Elisha brings that child back to life. A resurrection occurs. I mean, that's an amazing encounter with God. And we can just keep going. I mean, one more is the story of Martha and Mary. Again, just like Abraham received the word of God in the context of hospitality, when Jesus came into the home of Martha and Mary, the blessing that he brought was he was teaching the word of God. And Martha had the wisdom enough to realize, this is what hospitality with Jesus is about, sitting down and listening to what he has to say to me. Now, Martha had a little problem with hospitality. She thought the hospitality aspect was doing a lot of things for Jesus, and that the meal, you know, was the really important thing. And Jesus had to teach her that that was not the main part. But there, Mary had the blessing of receiving God's word. So the first thing for me to encourage you in the practice of hospitality is, if you really want to open the door to God blessing your life, here is a specific instruction in God's word that tells us how to get it. Now, like I said, I believe anything we obey in the word of God opens the door to blessing. But there's not many scriptures that tell us specifically this type of encouragement. And so when it's here, we should pay special attention to it. Say, wow, God is really wanting to do something in my life. And he tells me the way to do it is through practicing hospitality. If for no other reason, then you want to have a deepened relationship with God, I would urge you to practice hospitality. So let's talk about the fact that hospitality is so important in this way to God's blessing because it reflects the gospel. You know, the reality is that when God wants to picture for us what it looks like to be in the kingdom of God, he uses the image of hospitality. You think about the fact that the kingdom of God is pictured like a great banquet where people are invited to. You think about John chapter 14 when Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that when I come back, you can be with me in my home. I got a special place in my home for you. And then in the book of Luke, it even says that we're going to sit down and Jesus is going to serve us dinner. That's going to be mind-boggling because that's going to be like the experience of Peter where saying, Jesus, don't wash my feet because, you know, you shouldn't be serving me in that way. But it says even Jesus is going to serve us dinner. Now, that's a wonderful image of what it means to experience salvation, is to come into God's family, being invited into his home for dinner. And so God really wants us to understand this aspect. Now, a second thing, too, here is that it says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. I think that what we need to understand is that the first thing was about, this is an invitation to blessing. The second thing we need to understand is this is a biblical command. We're not just being suggested. We're not giving an idea. We're told this is something that God wants us to have as a part of our following of Jesus. That is to be built into our lives as followers of Jesus, this practice. The scriptures here from the Old Testament and from the New Testament give reinforcement to the idea that practicing hospitality is something that's to be part of our lives. It's the normative Christian life. It's not the exceptional Christian life. It's not a specialized gift for certain people. It's not something that you do in your spare time. It's something that we live out in our lives. Leviticus 19:33 tells us that in the Old Testament that God told his people, when an alien lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. The alien must be treated as one of your native born, for I am the Lord your God. And Deuteronomy says that the Lord loves the alien, giving him food and clothing, and so you are to love the aliens. And in the New Testament, we are given instructions similarly that we are to practice not only Hebrews 13:2, but others here. Romans 12:13 tells us to practice hospitality. And Romans 12 is a wonderful summary of Christian living. All the different things that we're supposed to do, how we relate to God, how we relate to one another, and it tells us we're to practice hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality to one another without complaining or without grumbling. Again, very specific reinforcement in the Word of God, repetition, telling us this is what it looks like to follow Jesus, is to practice hospitality. So if that's the case, then we need to know what it looks like. Now, from the story of Abraham, we have a very good model of what it means to show hospitality. Biblical hospitality is sharing who we are and what we have for the benefit and inclusion of strangers. So let's look at it from Genesis 18. First of all, the importance of a warm welcome. You notice that Abraham, when he sees these three people passing by, that he gets up and he urges them to come into his home. He's doing it without complaining. He is really wanting. He says, give me the honor. Give me the privilege of serving you. Please come into my home. Now that is the type of eagerness that hospitality should display. That it's not a burden to us, although for Abraham, it cost him something. He was taking his nap in the middle of the day. It was hot. So in some sense, it was inconvenient. I was really interested in Jan's story that her plane was delayed until 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, that was inconvenient for that host family to be at the airport. Were they at the airport at 2 o'clock? I mean, that was missing sleep. But boy, I'll tell you, that is the type of warm welcome that God wants us to have in our heart toward others. And so Abraham, with eagerness, invites them to come in. And then secondly, essential in the practice of hospitality is the sharing of food and drink. He says, oh, let me give you some water to wash your feet and to get refreshed, and let me give you some food so you can be refreshed. Hospitality can involve other things, but really God designed us, and in the Bible shows the connection between food and welcome and fellowship. Now, in American culture, we are a little bit challenged because of our lifestyle, that actually food, although food is important in every culture, we have decreased the amount of time that we eat together as families. It's one of the challenges of American life. We also eat out a lot more. So one of the things we need to do if we're going to practice biblical hospitality is to start to put the value on relationships in a way that eating together is not functional. It's not just getting the food in. It's about sharing time with people. And that is something we can learn. It's a skill, and it's an attitude toward life that you want to share time with people, and that eating together is one of the best ways of doing it. Now, one of the other challenges that we'll have is since there's a larger number of single people in the U.S., that sometimes single people don't like to cook. And I would encourage you that singles can get together, and you can do this together. You can cook together, or you can. It's okay to buy some food out and bring it home. But I think the home setting is ideal to make people feel welcome. You can do it in a restaurant, but I'm just urging you to consider the fact that inviting people into your space, letting them see how you are with all that you have, that isn't all in order, is part of being real and honest and being in a context where people feel most welcomed. I suggest that everyone learns how to cook at least, one or two meals, whether it's spaghetti or macaroni and cheese or something, that you don't get stressed out and say, oh, what am I going to cook? Of course, if you keep having a student every week and always serve spaghetti, well, that's okay. You can do that too. Okay, third one is sharing from the heart. It's interesting in the story of Abraham, by the way, that it wasn't until the end of the meal that the significant conversation took place. A lot of times it takes a little bit of a process of time before you get to the place of the heart level. Sometimes it can occur during the meal, but I found that a lot of times it's after the meal when you're sitting around the table or after sitting down after the meal that real significant conversations take place. So it takes a little bit of time. Also, it was very interesting that Abraham was walking with him as they were leaving and the conversation was taking place. One of the things you can learn, since there's a lot of Chinese students here, is when you host Chinese students, don't just see them off at the door. Walk with them. They will walk with you. And it's kind of an interesting thing that follows what the Bible says, that you walk with them to show that you're not so eager for them to leave. And that was when the conversation took place. But so these are the three things. If we can practice these three things, being very eager and warm to welcome people, sharing food and drink with them, and sharing from our hearts, it's not so complicated. That's what it means to practice hospitality, to share our lives with people in a very personal way. Now, the The thing we need to understand is it says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. Now, why did it emphasize strangers? Now, the Greek word that's in this context that's translated hospitality is the word philoxenia, which literally means love of strangers. In the Bible, the practice of hospitality does not refer to inviting your family and friends over. It doesn't refer to the time you get together with other believers in the church for fellowship. Now, the Bible is very clear that those things are important as well. Hebrews 13:2 is balanced with Hebrews 13:1. 13:1 is keep on loving each other as brothers. In fact, in the scriptures on hospitality, they're always linked with the balancing command. You can see in Romans 12:13, where it says practice hospitality. Just before that, it says share with God's people who are in need. So God wants us to have deep relationships with one another in the body of Christ. He wants us active in encouraging one another, building one another, praying for one another. But then he has this balance. He says, don't forget outsiders and specifically strangers. Now what we need to understand about this word strangers is in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it's translated in this way. Alien, sojourner, foreigner, stranger. What that means is when God is referring to strangers, he's referring to someone who is foreign born. He's referring to someone who's come from outside the culture to live in their culture. So when we're to practice biblical hospitality, God is specifically urging us, commanding us, inviting us to open up our lives to people who've moved into our culture. Now, you know, the ministry of IFI is specifically focused on international students who are coming to live here. Now, I understand biblical hospitality would be to refugees, to immigrants, to foreign business people that are coming. You know, we should be welcoming in hospitality to all types of strangers. But God has given us the wonderful opportunity for the thousands of international students that are coming to study in Columbus, and they are very eager and open and desiring for relationships. And so it makes it very easy to practice biblical hospitality. So God is, I just want to see, if you are wanting to be faithful to God's word, and you read this text in the Bible, instead of skimming over it, and you say, what is God asking me to actually do here? How can I show hospitality? It would be to open up your life to someone from a different culture and to invite them in. Now that's a wonderful thing that God is urging us to do, again, for the possibility of blessing. Now, let's do the last part here. It says, don't forget to show hospitality. Now, God's word is always written with intention. I mean, very clearly, the reason it says don't forget is why? Because there's a tendency to forget. Otherwise, he wouldn't say it that way. So why is it that we tend to forget? Well, we need to look at these obstacles. We become too comfortable in our lives. We have enough relationships already. We're too busy. We're too fearful of relating to someone different. And the bottom line is we have a lot of excuses. So what we have to do is we have to overcome these obstacles. We need to understand what are the barriers and be intentional. You see, the practice of biblical hospitality for us as American Christians is a challenge. In this culture, at this time, to practice hospitality is countercultural. And yet it's the very thing, by being countercultural, that will open the door to the message of the gospel. The title of this message was Hospitality and the Great Commission. And the reason I mentioned that is the latter part of hospitality is the fact that not only is God's compassion being released when we show hospitality, but also we can see how God is working to complete his plan to bless all nations. I'm not going to be able to go through it because of time, but in the book of Acts, the spread of the gospel was accompanied because of people that were reached away from home. You can start on the day of Pentecost. You can see the stories of Cornelius, of Lydia the businesswoman, of Paul the apostle being reached away from home, of the story of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. And this is how the gospel was spreading in the New Testament, through reaching people away from home. So I believe that considering the situation in the world today where the largest number of unevangelized people are in the 1040 window, a certain section of the world, and that that is the largest number of international students that are coming to study in the United States, that God in His wisdom and His design has sent them here so that we can participate in blessing all nations. And this is what God wants to do. So I'm very excited, aren't you, that this is something very doable. It's very practical. It's something that every Christian gets to participate in. Now, not all of our life situation all the time is going to be able to do it. I understand there are particulars in our life. And not all of it will look the same. We can do it together with one another. You know, sometimes one person can provide transportation while another person provides the meal. In the next month, about 1,500 new international students are arriving at Ohio State. 650 of them have requested that IFI provide airport pickup and temporary housing. Many of them are going to need furniture. We have a furniture shopping day on one day to help them find furniture. Many of them are wanting to make new relationships, and we have some welcome events. So you have in your bulletin this passport, and I'm going to ask you to look at it, to pull it out. And at the bottom, there are all sorts of opportunities for the way you could connect with international students. And I'm going to ask you, if you're not already involved, to consider one of those ways. You know, the Bible study group that's held in Jean Phyllis Green's home, they could use some food support. There's just lots of ways of participating. So if you will, as an application of this message, I don't believe... You know, God has called us to different types of ministry. This may not be your main ministry. But even if it's not your main ministry, there is some way that you can connect in supporting it. So I'm going to pray now and ask you to consider what God would have you do. Okay? Lord, we thank You that Your word is so clear, so precise, so wonderful. And I'm asking that right now You'd give grace to us in response to Your word to see how to apply it in our own lives. I thank You for Linworth Baptist Church. I thank You for the way that so many international students are being touched. But I'm praying for an increase. Lord, You're sending still yet men and women from many nations. And they need to be touched. And so I'm praying that You would raise up new people here this morning who haven't done it before, who would take first steps. And those that have been doing it maybe to take new steps in deepening their involvement. Lord, use this church to bless all nations through hospitality. For I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. There's a table in the back where you can get more information. And if you would fill out this, if God is speaking to you this morning, and turn it in at the table, we'll follow up with you.
Let's stand together.